Welcome. My guest today is author and spiritual teacher Gary Zukav. Gary's best-selling books include The Dancing Wooly Masters, The Seed of the Soul, and Soul Stories. We have 4 copies of The Seed of the Soul available for you with your pledge to KBOO today. We'll have some more information about that after the interview. Gary and his spiritual partner, Linda Francis, will be appearing at the McDonald Theater in Eugene on Saturday, September 24th. Gary and Linda will lead a workshop on authentic power to kick off the 9th Annual Health and Well-Being Celebration there in Eugene. Thank you for joining us today. Are you looking forward to the event?
We live in Oregon, Linda Francis and I, and we're always looking forward to meeting new neighbors.
Great. And you'll be speaking on the topic of authentic power, is that correct?
Yes. We will both be speaking on the topic of authentic power.
And what is authentic power? How is it different from other kinds of power?
It's very different. At the moment, we are in the midst of a major transformation in human consciousness. It's a transformation of a magnitude that has never occurred before other than the origin of the human species. It is reshaping the human experience, and it's reshaping it one individual at a time from the inside out. That means that you are beginning to value things, see things, and experience things that you didn't before. And this transformation in human consciousness is happening very fast from an evolutionary point of view. In only a few human generations, it will affect everyone on this planet. And that is why it is possible for me and others to talk about the difference between authentic power and the power that we've come to recognize. The power that we have come to recognize is the ability to manipulate or the ability to control. It's the ability to change the things that are around us, including other people, by the way. It's the ability to create shelters, the ability to get people to buy your product. It's the ability to get people to like you. It's the ability to get people to support you. It's the ability that originated in seeing that survival was enhanced by, for example, going into a cave when it rains. This is all of it, external power. It's the ability to manipulate and to control our environment. And that's the way that we've understood power since our origin of as a species until now. And now we're beginning to see that that understanding of power that worked so well for us in our past, that helped us so much in our quest for survival, is no longer accurate or satisfying from the new perspective that is emerging in millions of us. And then from that new perspective, power is the ability to live a life of meaning, of joy, of purpose, knowing that you're on the earth for a reason and that you are living your life and doing the things you're doing for that reason. It's creativity for the benefit of life in a way that fulfills you, thrills you, excites you, and contents you. And if you create a life in which you live in the present moment, full of meaning, so fully engaged and excited about what you are doing that you forget to be frightened, that is powerful. That is power. That is authentic power, and there's a way to create it. There is a way to create it permanently in your life, and that's what this talk is about.
Why do you think this shift is happening now?
The shift is happening now because it's time for it to happen now. For thousands of years, hundreds of millennia, we have evolved through the pursuit of external power. And now we are beginning to move into an expanded perception of who we are, an expanded perception of the world around us. In other words, we're becoming able to see more than our 5 senses can provide us. That's multisensory perception. It's happening now because now is the time for our species to make an evolutionary leap into a new domain of awareness and responsibility.
What kinds of changes do you think this shift towards authentic power and realizing our own authentic power as individuals will bring about in the wider social and economic systems in which we would live?
It will transform them completely, because the wider social system in which we live and all of its components, all of our social endeavors such as governance and welfare and business and education and science and every other human endeavor are built on the perception of power as external, as the ability to manipulate and to control. And you don't have to look very far to see that. You can see it in governance and economics. You can see it in science. You can see it in medicine, where all of healing is the ability to manipulate and to control, either at the molecular level pharmaceutically or at the organic level surgically. But before or while those transformations, social transformations, are taking place, individual transformations are taking place. For most of my life, I was an angry person, and I didn't think about being angry. I just got angry. People would say things that angered me. I would hear things on the television that angered me. I would see things around me that angered me. I was angry so much of the time. I would guess that I was angry almost all of the time. But I never thought about it. I never felt what I felt like inside my body to be angry. When I began, I discovered that it hurts to be angry. It's painful to be angry. Physically, it hurts to be angry. There are physical sensations in your body that come when you are angry that are as painful as crushing your finger in a car door. And as you become emotionally aware, you become aware of that pain directly, so that you don't have to mask it, so that you don't have to mask it with anger, because as painful as anger is, it's more painful. What generates it is even more painful, and anger, becoming anger, masks that pain. And so does eating, and so does shopping, and so does sex and watching pornography. Why are we so compelled to do things that are so destructive? Why do we become angry? Why do we become jealous? Why do we become resentful and vengeful? What is underneath these things? That is what is required for you to discover in yourself, not in other people, in order to create an authentically empowered life. For example, as we watch the suffering and the agony and the anguish in New Orleans now, after the Katrina hurricane, as you watch it on television, as you hear of it, as you speak with friends who are from the Gulf Coast, as you see old people dying of heat exhaustion and exposure, as you see parents looking for children, what do you feel?
Well, of course, it's very sad, and it can make you angry, too.
Yes. What is sadness? What does sadness feel like? And it can make you angry. It makes you hurt. And to cover how much you hurt, you become angry. That's a dynamic that most people aren't aware of. If I was aware of it when I was living in anger so much of my life, I could have been changing that so much earlier in my life. If you begin to develop the ability to see how much it hurts to see someone else suffering like these people are suffering, you will be able to choose your responses to that pain in you and the pain that you experience watching them, instead of habitually, robotically becoming angry. And then you will be able to act in a more grounded and balanced way, instead of an angry way. You won't look for villains, you'll look for what you can do to make the situation better. If the situation requires removing George Bush as president, then that is not something you will do out of anger, out of resentment, out of frustration, but with a compassionate heart for George Bush. Whatever it is that you decide is appropriate for you to do, you will be able to decide that in a grounded and balanced, compassionate and wise way. And you can't do any of those things when you're angry or resentful.
And what about, just speaking to that particular situation, people in New Orleans who are in the midst of this tragedy, and what would be your advice to them in terms of how they can claim their own authentic power when they are so powerless?
The same way that you can not claim but create authentic power in your life. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this experience? Now, I'm not suggesting that someone whose child is missing, stop looking for the child, whose parent is dying, stop your efforts to bring the parent to a hospital. What I am saying for your consideration is that your life is not random, that nothing in it is meaningless, and that you can learn about yourself from everything that you experience. And the next time you experience what other people would consider a tragedy in your life, whether it's an accident or the death of a friend or the loss of a job or the dissolution of a relationship, ask yourself, what can I learn? What can I learn from this about myself? And then open to that question. Open to the possibility that the universe is wise and compassionate, and that what you are experiencing is not random or cruel or meaningless, and that there are riches waiting for you to mine. If you do not do that, and if they do not do that, then all of this suffering and this agony will not yield the rich harvest of meaning and insight and clarity and wisdom that is its potential.
Can you talk about how you came to this in your own life a little bit? I know that you evolved from an author to more of a spiritual teacher. Can you talk about how that change occurred?
I don't consider myself a teacher. I consider myself a fellow student in this learning experience that begins at birth and ends at death that we are all involved in. I feel that our time on the earth is a learning opportunity. I feel that our time on the earth is more realistically viewed as experiences in an earth school, experiences that teach us about ourselves so that we can develop spiritually, so that we can create authentically empowered lives. Authentic power is the alignment of your personality with your soul. It's that life of meaning and engagement and purpose and clarity and excitement and fulfillment that I described earlier. It comes about by aligning your personality with your soul, with the part of you that wants harmony, that wants cooperation, that wants sharing, that wants reverence for life. Your purpose in life, the gift that your soul wants to give, may involve raising a family or bringing a new orientation of responsibility and awareness and love into commerce. Now, there's a juxtaposition that's almost never used. But that's one of the changes in the social structures that will come to be as we become multisensory and then realize that authentic power is our potential and start to create it in our own lives. This may sound radical to some. It sounded radical to me before I discovered the reality of it. I wrote a book on physics, quantum physics, that won the American Book Award for Science. I graduated from Harvard with a degree in international relations. I was an officer, an infantry officer in the U.S. Army. And from there I became a Green Beret, a Special Forces officer in Vietnam. In other words, I was and am a white male at the top of a pecking order that we have created through the pursuit of external power over centuries. And so, what does it serve me other than the sharing of a truth that you can experiment with and verify yourself to say that this universe is alive and wise and compassionate, that there are in it intelligence and compassion and wisdom that is real but not physical, and that you have access to it, that your life is meaningful and purposeful, but that it is up to you to live a meaningful and purposeful life, and in order to do that, you must become aware of your emotions, aware of the intentions you are choosing and choose them responsibly because they create the consequences you will encounter in your life.
Can you talk about how your understanding of physics contributed to your awakening and your creation of your own authentic power?
The thing that excited me so much about quantum physics when I first encountered it as a layperson who had never studied science, liked science, and didn't know anything about mathematics, was that I could sense there was some fundamental relationship that it expressed between consciousness and reality. Not just consciousness and emotional or psychological reality, but consciousness and physical reality. And to my astonishment and exhilaration, I discovered that theoretical physicists discuss this same possibility. And so I began to write about it, and I asked physicists to help me write about it. And that relationship became more and more a part of me as the book came into being. But it was the process of the book coming into being and not as much the content that changed my life. Because as I wrote it, I realized that this book I was writing was more intelligent than I am, more comprehensive in its understanding than I am, more compassionate than I was, and a lot more funny than I was. So, what was happening? What could possibly be happening? I did not ignore these experiences. I opened myself to understanding them. And I began to realize that this book had a life of its own, and behind that book there was intelligence. Intelligence that was real. That was assisting me. Did I channel that book? No. I did not. I put all of my creativity, all of my literacy, all of my many lifetimes, I suspect, as a scribe, into the creation of this book. But I did not create it alone. No one can create alone because it's impossible to be alone. And so I began to open to the assistance that I have.
In your book, In Seed of the Soul, you talk about the difference between personality and soul. Can you talk a bit about that now?
Yes, personality is that you that was born on your birthday and that will die on your death day. It's got a limited duration. The personality that is you carries your name. It's a body. It's a mind. It's an intuitional structure, which is how you experience intuition. It's different for everybody. It's all the things that psychologists academically call a personality. It's how you see things and feel things and think about things. In other words, cognition, affect, and perception. All of that is your personality, and all of that is a temporary tool of your soul. And when your soul is finished with your personality, it will discard it. Ashes return to ashes, dust to dust. That's your personality, but your soul does not die. It existed before you were born, and it will exist after you die. It's that with which you are now aligning yourself as you create authentic power. That is the road to health. That is the road to wholeness. That is the road to your fullness and to who you are in your fullness. The alignment of your personality with your soul. And you do it yourself with your choices based on your awareness. You can't do it for anyone else. And no one else can do it for you. Human evolution is highly personal now, and it requires choice, your choice. The choice to create authentic power in your life. The choice to create a life of meaning and joy and purpose, rather than blaming others for the fact that you don't have those experiences now, or waiting for someone or something outside of you to provide them.
Is there anything else you want to say just before we wrap up?
I am so grateful to be on your show and so grateful to be able to talk to the people who are listening. I do hope that we get a chance to meet in Eugene or that our paths will cross soon. Our path goes everywhere. It's not that difficult to cross it. Just go to our website and see where we're going to be next.
Great. Do you want to give out the website one more time?
That's Seat of the Soul, SEATOfTheSoul.com, or my name, which is Zukav.com, ZUKAV.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Gary Zukav. Let's find out now how you, the listener, can get your very own copy of Seat of the Soul.